If you have brought a Bible with you, you'll need to turn once again to the 16th Psalm. The 16th Psalm, as we complete a message that began last week. I would begin with these words: America needs God. I think that is indisputable. We have the affirmation of that in Holy Scripture in another psalm, the 33rd Psalm, where we read these words in verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." America needs God. America is in desperate need of God. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." America needs God. Which God? Which God does America need? You see, we cannot assume that when I say the word God, we're speaking of the same God. For some, the God that they think America needs is the big stick God. The big stick God. The God of the closed fist. The God who is simply looking for somebody or some nation out of line to hit them over the head. The big stick God. Is that the God that is needed? Some would say we need the anything goes God. Huh? That's the God America needs. Kids will be kids. Run along and play. Do what you want to do. Do it with your body. Do it with your family. Do it with your sexuality. Do it in any area. And that's the God that they think we need. The anything goes God. I don't think that God is the God America needs, although it may be the God America serves. Some people think that the God that we need is the God like me God. The God who is like me. The same political stance, the same ethnic background, whatever it may be. The God we need is the God who is like us. And we make God in our own image. But I submit to you, that is not the God that America needs. Some even say that the God America needs is the God who is me. I'm my own God. Nobody tells me what to do. No source of authority in my life. I am my own God. And then there are many in our country today that say the God we need is the any old God will do God. Any old God will do God. By the way, do you know that when the psalmist said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," he was being very precise. We tend sometimes to see the word God and Lord, and in your Old Testament it will usually be capitalized. We tend to see those as simply equivalent. They're not. The Lord was Yahweh, Jehovah, the I am that I am. He was a particular God. And that's the God that America needs. Some think that the God that we need is the everything is God, God. Pantheism, and we reject that. But I say to you still, America needs God. And what I want to say again is what I said last week, and that is, America needs the God who is. Not the God of our imagination, not the God of our culture, not the God of anything else. There is one true God, and that's the God we need. The God who is. And by the way, it is now test time for the people that were here last Sunday. Huh? Are you ready? I gave you six words about this God who is. See if we can do it together. Here we go. Ready? The God who is. Whoa. That's pretty good, Baptist friends of mine, I'm telling you right now. Yeah. The God who is enough. Is enough. It was last Sunday afternoon that one of our fine deacons, Jimmy McMillan, was taken to the hospital. Found out that he had had a heart attack or was having a heart attack. The last word I heard is still looking at 5 bypass surgeries. But you know, when I communicated with him the first time by email, you know what he said to me by that email? You know what he said to me? He said, "The God who is enough." I thought, wow, he listened. You know, I felt pretty good about that. But I felt good about it because it's the truth. That if we have that God, the God who is, that God will be enough. So let's go back again to Psalm 16. And once again, I would like to read from the New Living Translation of Scripture. And so if you will follow along in whatever translation you have, I'd like to read from the New Living Translation. Here we go. Psalm 16. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. The godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Troubles multiply. For those who chase after other gods, I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad, and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Now, what I want to do for a moment is just take a quick review, because some of you were not here. We're not here last Sunday. So we're looking for an answer to this question. Who is this God who is? And who is enough? Who is this God who is and is enough? So a quick review, and if you're a note taker in your service folder, there is a sheet that you can pull out and make notes if you'd like to do so. But I'll go through these fairly quickly. Who is this God who is? So last week we gave three answers. Here they are. Number one, the God who is our refuge in times of trouble. The God who is our refuge in times of trouble. Number two, by the way, that's out of verse one. Number two is out of verse two. Ready? The God who is our source for every good thing. The God who is our source. Where do you go? You go to God, the God who is, and he is the source. And number three, out of verse five, the God who is the God who guards our inheritance. I'll say it again. The God who is the God who guards our inheritance. That simply is a reminder that we have in him security. We have in him safety. He is the God who guards our inheritance. So today, we finish this by looking at the final five verses. And I invite your attention back to verse 7 in your Bible today. Verse number 7. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Now ponder that for a moment. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. That's verse 7. In the New King James Version, it reads, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Now, friend, listen to me. David knew he needed a guide. David knew that he needed someone that could help him navigate the circumstances of his life. We see that in many places. We see it in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He what? Leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David knew that he needed a guide. The Lord said, and David said this in Psalm 32:8, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And again, 48:14, he is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die. I kind of like that. He will guide us until we die. In Psalm 73, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. And Jesus said it this way in John 16:13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. That's the Holy Spirit, my friend. And the truth of the matter is, every man and woman and boy and girl in this room and on planet Earth needs spiritual guidance. And can I tell you plainly, without hesitation, if you do not have that spiritual guidance, you are lost. Lost. Many of you know that I am legendary in my family about my lack of attention to driving. I'm dangerous, and when you see me, move over. It's true. And it happened most recently. And those of you that have been with me for a while, you'll appreciate this. I know how I get my mind on something and I forget other things. I have to guard against that. And so I was coming home. I called my sweet wife, Debbie. She said, would you order some pizzas and bring them home with you? Because we had family there and we were going to eat together. I said, sure, I'll do that. Now, I knew when I said that, I could be in danger here. Yeah, I knew that. But I immediately, I'm telling you, I'm proud of myself, I immediately called the pizza place, I placed the order, and I'm feeling better about myself. I'm driving home. True story, my friends. True story, sad, but true. I am talking out loud to myself. I'm doing so with some exuberance. Here's the way it went. So, do you think you can remember to get the pizza today? Huh? You think you're going to remember it when you go through battlefield? You think you're going to drive on through it? Huh? What do you think? Yeah, I'm just talking to myself like that. I'm coaching myself. And then I saw the come and go gas station in Battlefield and realized I had passed the pizza place. My wife wonders how I ever make it home. It's a true story. See, I need a guide. And even though that's true physically, that's true in the natural realm, that is so much more true in the spiritual realm. Every one of us needs a guide, and the God who is our guide. Let me say it to you this way. This is number four for you note takers. The God who is the God who guides His people. Now listen to me. America needs God. But America doesn't just need any God. America needs the God. Because the God who is enough. That's the God that America needs. And the God who is enough, is the God who guides His people. And if there was ever a nation in need of divine guidance, it's America. America needs the guidance of God. Let's go to verse 8. Oh, this one is for me especially. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for He is right beside me. Oh, listen. Did not David know that? When he faced the bear, God was with him. When he faced the lion, God was with him. When he faced Goliath, God was with him. When he was victorious over his enemies, God was with him. When he was defeated, God was with him. When he was hiding in a cave, God was with him. When he pretended to be mentally unstable, God was with him. God was with him even when he failed, when he sinned grievously. David moved, but God was still there, convicting him, disciplining him, sending Nathan to point his bony finger at him and say, "Thou art the man." God was with him. David's joy was gone, but his God wasn't. My friend, I'm telling you, you can lose the joy of your salvation. You can lose the sweet fellowship that you've had with God. But God is the God who goes with His people. This is number five. Who is the God who is enough? Number five, the God who is the God who goes with His people. Is there any truth sweeter to our hearts than this? The God who is, the God who created this world, the God who established everything that is and holds it in the palm of His hand, that God is with us. That God has said, I will never, ever, ever leave you nor forsake you. That's the God who is, and that's His promise. Your father may forsake you, God will not. Your mother may forsake you, God will not. Your husband may forsake you, God will not. Your children may forsake you, God will not. I am telling you, we serve a God who takes care of His own. God is a God who goes with us. I believe it was John MacArthur who listed five different judgments of God. Now, I'll not go through them, but one of those he said he believed that America was currently under this judgment. Currently under this judgment. It was the judgment of abandonment. He based it on Romans chapter 1, where God said, where the Bible says, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over. And by the way, some of the sins enumerated there are exactly the sins that are being applauded in our world today and in our country today. And so John MacArthur said there can come a time when God will simply withdraw. He will abandon a nation, abandon a people. And I am not at all uncertain that that may be accurate. But I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear this. God will correct His people. God will discipline His people. God will withdraw from them that experience of His power. He may refuse to answer their prayers because of their rebellion. But when it comes to the people of God, God will never abandon His people. And that is a message of hope right now for us in America. Whatever is happening in our culture does not have to happen in our churches. Whatever happens in our culture does not have to happen in our hearts. I challenge you, stand strong against the tides of secularism that are overwhelming this land, because God will still be with those who serve Him as their God. And I thank Him for it. America needs God. America needs the God who is. The God who is enough. And the God who is the God who goes with His people. Well, we have one more, but I'm going to do a quick review. Who is this God? According to Psalm 16, who is this God who is and is enough? And here are the answers we have so far. The God who is our refuge in times of trouble. And I say to you today, run to Him. Run to Him. Number two, the God who is our source for every good thing. I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is our source. Number three, the God who is the God who guards our inheritance. Number four, the God who is the God who guides His people. And number five, the God who is the God who goes with His people. Now, it ought not to surprise you what the last one is from me today. It's in verse 9. And in verse 9 in the New Living Translation, it says this, no wonder my heart is glad. No wonder my heart is glad, and I rejoice. David gives us another glimpse of the salvation God gives. Eugene Peterson's The Message translation translates a portion of this by these words, you canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination. No wonder I am glad. I grew up singing out of a hymnal called Heavenly Highway Hymns, Heavenly Highways. And one of the hymns that are in that is a hymn that says, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone, and when I meet the scoffers who ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. No wonder I am glad. My sins are gone. David spoke prophetically of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but the gladness is for all who know and follow Jesus. David knew there was hope beyond the grave. That hope brought him and us gladness even in sadness. I'll tell you again something I heard probably within the last year at a funeral for a dear lady. I was not preaching the funeral. I was there as a participant. But I heard a pastor say these words: "This is a sad day, but this is not a bad day, because this is her glad day." Whoa. I'm telling you, no wonder I am glad. My soul is saved. My sins are gone. God's Spirit lives in me. Satan's power is broken. My home is heaven, and my God is good. No wonder I am glad. Well, let me give you that last answer. The God who is enough. The God who is the God who makes His people glad. So I say without hesitation, and I pray without hesitation, God bless America. God bless America with rebuke and discipline. God bless America with repentance. God bless America with revival. God bless America with a renewal of holiness. God bless America with a rebirth of freedom. God bless America with a restoration of joy. Whatever it takes, however it has to come, God bless America. The service began with a beautiful rendition of that song. Let's end the sermon with that. Help me out. God bless America. Through the night. With a light. From the mountains. To the prairies. To the oceans, white with foam.
God bless America.
My home, sweet home. God
bless
Heavenly Father, the problems are too large for us, but they're not too large for You. Father, the tipping point may already be past for America, but it's not too late from Your perspective. And so today, hear us from heaven, Lord. Today in this room, there are hundreds of Your people who are saying, "Do what You need to do, God. Start here. Start here. Start in me. Do what You must do. Do whatever it takes." Lord, we pray You will act. And we humble ourselves before You. We humble ourselves. We have no hope other than in You. And we humble ourselves. We're Your people, Lord. And we come before You as Your people and we cry out, "Lord, we need help. Lord, we need help." Father, work, work. Oh, this grand land You've given us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us that we may be stewards of the grace that has been shed upon us. Help us, Lord. And Father, start with Your people. It's the only place. If judgment will begin, it has to begin at the house of God. Start here. Start with us. And Lord, we're Your people. We're called by Your name. We're humble. We humble ourselves. We pray. We seek Your face. And yes, yes, we turn from our wicked ways. Yes, Lord, we turn. We turn. We forsake those wicked ways. We acknowledge them. We confess our sin. And we ask for that gracious gracious healing that can only come from heaven. Hear from heaven. Forgive our sins. Heal our land. God, one more time we pray. Bless America. Bless America. We pray it in the name of the one who is indeed God in flesh, Jesus Christ. Amen.